What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Rowdy Alternative Podcast. Today we're here with Jack Browning. How are you, dude?
Oh, I'm good, man. Yeah, this is a kind of surreal being on here, actually. I've been a fan for a while. So.
Well, that means a lot, dude. That's good to know we have at least one listener out there.
Yeah, dude. Global, man. You're going to cross the pond and everything.
Right on, dude. That's awesome. But I guess before we hop into anything, man, just kind of let us know what you're doing right now. Like, what are you up to? I know the year just kicked off. Like, are you recording shows? Like, what are you up to?
Yeah, man. So I'm also an artist as well, if folks listening don't know. So I kind of found two ways to not have a normal job, which is kind of funny. So I've been painting mostly this year so far. And then this week, really, I've had my first couple shows, and I've got another show tomorrow, and kind of just doing some warm-up bits, you know, dusting off some old songs, trying some new ones. And then me and the boys hit the road next month in the Netherlands, and then we're kind of on the road for the rest of the year. So, yeah, it's been busy. Got a new record dropping, hopefully in the summer, if everything goes to plan. So, yeah, super excited, man. Got a lot of things I want to get out there and do and everything like that. So, kind of been like a little antsy this month, you know, like the last month since the new year kicked in. You know, I just want to hit the road and get to work. So,
hell yeah, man. Yeah, it sounds like you got a busy year ahead of you, but that's a good problem to have.
Oh, for sure, man. Yeah, it definitely beats waking up at 4:30 every day like I used to.
So, yeah, for sure, dude.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, because, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Heck yeah, man. So just so people get to know you a bit and everything, you were from London, correct?
Yeah, originally from London, man, and then I moved out to a place called Essex. So kind of close enough to be in the mix in London within a couple of hours, but kind of far enough out the way to be kind of a real country bumpkin kind of upbringing, which is cool.
Right on. Can you kind of give us a – well, first off, I guess when you came over here, and also give us a kind of a glimpse as to what the folk or country scene kind of was where you were from back then, and maybe how it translates to where you are now.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I'm still in Essex whenever I'm off the road for now. And yeah, I always loved American music, American culture. And then right at the beginning of 2024, I had a message come through, and it was from a guy who's now a good friend of mine, great musician, Jace Turley. In Kentucky, and he said, look, man, I'll be honest, I hadn't really heard of your music before, but I woke up to all these messages, people saying we should book you for our little festival, so how about it? And so 2024, I went over to the US for the first time to play, and then yeah, ended up playing this amazing festival, like right in kind of the tri-state area between West Virginia and Ohio and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of blown away, man. Like, it was kind of an early slot. I want to say it was like 1 p.m. And had folks turning out, singing my songs. And
oh, wow.
Kind of surreal. It was like my first experience of playing in the U.S. And then kind of, you know, wound our way back down to Nashville, basically, over a couple of weeks to fly back home. And then kind of thought, oh, man, maybe 2024 was as good as it gets. And then 2025 ended up coming back over for Laurel Cove Music Festival representing, and Healing Appalachia as well, an exhibition I did in Austin. So kind of finding, you know, more and more about the country. And then, yeah, end of 2025, I thought, man, what if 2025 was the peak? And, lo and behold, I'm coming back at least two times this year as well. So I've got a festival in Texas in McKinney called the Texas Music Revolution. I actually just had a buddy of mine from like real kind of rural Texas say, hey, man, I just heard you on the radio here, dude. I was like, whoa, that's kind of cool. And then the month after in July, I'm back in Kentucky for a Master Musicians Festival with Trampled by Turtles headlining.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, heck of a lineup, dude. I'm blown away by some of the lineups I've been able to share, and kind of fast running out of wall space to, you know, frame these posters. So
for sure, man. Well, yeah. I'm from Kentucky. I'm still living here, Northern Kentucky. So a lot of people would say I'm an Ohioan, but you know, fuck
you
them.
Like,
but
like Covington, that area,
right there, man. Northern Kentucky, Covington is probably like 5 minutes away.
Great, so, that area, man. I love been lucky enough to play Southgate House a couple times.
Oh, Newport. I love that venue, man.
I love it, man. I love Morella. I love everything they're doing there, man. It's such a cool venue. So I always try and make a trip out up there, no matter what I'm doing, and visit Cincinnati as well, man. So
yeah, man, absolutely. It's funny because I was like, damn, I'm gonna be talking to Jack today. And so, since just a quick little thing, the Bengals, my team in Cincinnati, have a backup quarterback named Jake Browning.
Oh, I know, dude. When he signed, it was the funniest thing. I had a massive spike in my like searches, and I was wow. like, we were all like, what's going on? Because I follow like the NFL, I follow like NCAA and the NFL. I love American football. So you know, I was kind of like, man, I just couldn't figure it out. And then a friend of mine who lives in London, a great dude called Tom, he used to live in Cincinnati, and he's a huge Bengals fan. And he sent me the news. I was like, oh, okay, there we go. So yeah, thank you, backup QB Jake, for shining a light on what I'm doing.
If only he was as good to us on our team as he is to you with the search spike, but we won't have to go there. But no, yeah, but like what I was gonna say before is I'm glad to hear that the Appalachian kind of scene around here has really taken you in, I guess you could say. And can you kind of describe like what is that community like? Like, what was your first impressions upon coming over here, and how did that go?
It was totally like, I'm not sure I've encountered it anywhere else in the world. I've been lucky enough to have some great kind of people supporting me kind of all around. The Netherlands and Belgium has been amazing to us. Like, just my record seemed to take off there, and it's kind of led to similar things where, you know, I'm playing rooms over in Netherlands and Belgium, where in the UK, you know, that capacity, I might only kind of dream of it at the minute. But the US was kind of like a whole different ballgame, and especially that kind of Appalachian scene. Mm. I knew it must be pretty powerful when I realized the whole reason I was over there in the first place was because people were telling Jason, you know, Tiffany and Patrick and all those guys arranging that festival. Like, I was like, wow, okay, like my music must be cool and they really must have some sway. And then went over there for that first tour and just had offers of places to stay. People wanted to grab us dinner. People wanted to come out to shows. People just buying like crazy merch for no other reason than, you know, there was one guy I remember, that first tour, he bought like 3 hats at 3 different shows. I said, man, really sweet. I said, who are you giving these to? He said, man, I just want to help you kind of, you know, get your plane ticket home. And, you know, and then Laurel Cove was a real crazy experience because that was my first time coming back to Appalachia after playing there. And it took us maybe 2.5 hours to walk from the car to the backstage because we were just like, you know, you're just seeing people that, you know, are good friends of mine by now. You're seeing people that you've only known on Facebook and, you know, through Instagram, and, you know, people coming up saying, man, we've talked a bunch and I'm so glad you're over here. And then to walk down to the Creekside stage on Saturday at Laurel Cove and see like the crowd not only going back but like going up the mountain too. Mm-hmm. Just like I'll never forget, man. And that whole scene, I can't be away for maybe more than a month before I start getting messages where like, man, when are you coming back? We got to do this. And even some of the wonderful businesses around Kentucky and West Virginia. So I've had like ALA.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Swamp Water.
I tried it the very, very first show. My buddy John, I came off stage, tried Shine for the first time before I went on. And then as soon as I came off, got handed a nice cold bottle of A8. became a bit of a thing. And I've had friends like send me crates over here. And
oh, wow.
In Kentucky for Laurel Cove. My buddy Fred, who's like the warehouse manager there, he was like, man, come for a factory tour. I was like, oh, hell yeah. So, yeah, you know, that kind of illustrates it best, really, man. It's this amazing, friendly, eclectic kind of scene, and they've completely welcomed me in, to the point where I've been called an honorary Kentuckian, honorary Appalachian.
Absolutely.
And I don't think I deserve that, but it does mean a lot. So
right on, dude. Yeah, and a little about Laurel Cove. So I personally have just heard of this festival. I don't think it's like two, it's only been going a few years, I think, right? Like, it isn't too, I could be totally wrong.
No, I think it's definitely less than a decade. I think it's okay. Like 17, 18 might have been the first one. And you know, because the venues become so iconic as well, like, mm-hmm. Pine Mountain, they're totally limited by the numbers. So like, yeah. It's not gonna get, it's one of those things where it's like a ticket is like rocking horse crap.
Yeah.
But also it does mean that it's this huge festival. I mean, last year, the lineup, just off the top of my head, it was like Caitlin Butts, Evan Hohner, Cassius Culpepper, Ian Noh, like just an insane lineup, no matter where you are in the world, let alone, you know, up in Appalachia. And
it looks so intimate. I haven't been there, but I've seen videos, pictures. It looks like so intimate, and you have these great names too.
Yeah, and you know, you just have like, you have almost like an alumnus kind of feeling when you've played it or been involved. You know, like Nolan Taylor was such a big part of it in those early years, especially. And he just rocked up last year just to come and hang. And, you know, as soon as he got spotted, he kind of went away again for a little bit. Everyone wanted to speak to him, obviously. But it's that kind of place, you know, everyone kind of comes and everyone kind of comes as an equal as well, which is really sweet. You know, there was one or two kind of, you know, bigger vehicles that some of the bigger acts turned up in, but as soon as they stepped out, it was like, hey man, how you doing? We're all drinking the same beers and, you know, hanging in the same place and just kind of hanging out. So it was a very special place, man. And that whole kind of Kentucky, West Virginia, Ohio, a little bit of Indiana, I've been in Tennessee, like that part of the world really means a lot to me. So much so that there's a song on the first album, song on this next album.
Okay.
I'm directly inspired by it. So
awesome, man. Yeah, and we'll get into what you got coming up a little later. But before we get to that, I guess, when I listened to you and I dove into your stuff, it hit me right in like the bullseye, which is like the perfect mix of like folk, country, of course, like the blues aspect, like a lot of like, I think of like Laurel Canyon stuff, kind of like in the 70s, that kind of stuff, 60s era. I guess, how would you describe it? How would you describe your sound?
Yeah, I mean, that whole kind of Laurel Canyon stuff, that was kind of my first exposure to folk and kind of 70s songwriting that I've come to just absolutely adore. Obviously started like most people, Neil Young, you know, Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills and Nash, they're still a huge influence on me. And then you kind of discover, you know, some of the lesser known stuff, and then completely fell in love with the band and all the stuff they were doing. And
yeah.
You know, discovered the Last Waltz as a teenager, and that was kind of it. That was me, like both feet in, kind of thing. But yeah, I think one of the things, it's worked for me in a lot of ways, but it's also worked against me in a lot of ways, is I think I'm a little tricky to pin down in terms of what the exact sound is. And the first album, I was really kind of self-conscious about that and thought it was a negative thing. And then through the process of recording the second one and, you know, putting some singles out from it, I've realized it's actually kind of a strength. And, you know, I grew up playing dad rock and metal for a time, before I discovered the folk stuff. And then I was really into like a lot of early blues stuff, you know, Howlin' Wolf and Robert Johnson, Blind Willie McDowell, all those kind of early blues guys. Blind Connie Williams was another one. Like the second album, I kind of just leaned into it. I was like, man, I want, you know, if you listen to this record, sure, you can hear that I, you know, worship the ground that John Prine walked on and Towns Van Zandt. But there's a little like Crosby, Stills and Nash. There's some kind of more rocky elements. And I got to dust off the Les Paul, which was quite nice.
Nice. So,
yeah, it's been fun. I'm really glad you kind of picked up on that and enjoyed that part of it. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like in our current state, when you want to call, whether you want to call it Americana, folk or whatever, like the group of artists in that area, I don't know if listeners even know, like I feel like a lot of listeners, like casual listeners or whatever, they might not know what Laurel Canyon is, but I see it as like a big comeback from that. Like I think however you want to call it, like it reminds, that's the first thing I think of. And it's such like a niche thing, I think, nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And that sound, like it's such like a warm, iconic sound. And I've kind of noticed it happening with a lot of like the Texas songwriters as well, you know, Towns, Blaze, all those kind of great guys coming up in the 70s and the 80s. You know, Guy Clark, a lot of people are kind of rediscovering that, which is really cool because I've been a fan of those guys since kind of, it was a little bit strange, if that makes sense. I mean, I'm 28, so I'm not like super like young, but even still, when I was kind of first doing this stuff, you know, 2018, 2019, you know, it was a little bit like, why are you listening to that? You know, whereas now, you know, everyone wants to, you know, hear Towns and Blaze and Guy and the Laurel Canyon stuff. So it's cool, man. But it was very organic as well. You know, I didn't really plan to make it sound like any of that stuff. But I think, you know, when you, you know, you have heroes and inspirations and stuff, and, you know, you're like me and you wear them on your sleeve, it's going to be hard for it to not kind of draw those comparisons. And yeah, man, being mentioned in the same breath as Laurel Canyon or any of those Texas dudes is just fine by me.
Right on. And especially nowadays, like when you do look at all the different sounds and styles that you, you know, that you encompass, like the genre lines are so blurred today in the best way possible. Yeah. And it, you know, you, even the biggest artists, I mean, Beyonce did her country album, like, you know, country's doing rap and hip hop. Like it's, I think it's a beautiful thing. You have the haters, of course, but either way, like, I feel like it's a good time to be able to really show like, hey, I like more than one lane here. Like I could do more than that.
I totally agree. And I think there's a difference between kind of not listening to something and kind of hating on it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some stuff I do hate on.
Yeah, oh, me too.
But, you know, on the whole, you know, kind of, you know, if, you know, Beyonce shines a light on country music and five people find my record or a friend's record from it, then, you know, what's the harm, man? You know, it's just kind of more eyes on, you know, if you don't think, for example, Beyonce or, you know, Lana Del Rey, when she announced it, was doing it properly, then at least maybe you might find some folks that, you know, by whoever's classification is doing it properly, you know. But
yeah,
I'm a sucker for it, man. My playlist is eclectic as hell.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Especially my, like, if I'm training or something, my playlist is crazy. It's like Attitude Era WWE tunes, like hip hop, then like there's some like soundtrack stuff in it. And I'm like
Shawn Michaels.
Dude. that adds like 10 kg either side to my lift, man. I swear. I don't have the physique of Shawn Michaels, that's for sure.
That theme song, though.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, for sure, dude. But no, it makes sense. Like it's completely normal now. Like, I relate to that a lot. Like, one of my favorite bands are like the Beatles and Limp Bizkit. Like, it's there's no rules to this shit.
And just from that, I know you also watch WWF growing up as well.
Yeah, I watch a lot of replays as well, all the time. Usually when I'm a little tuned up on a Saturday night, throw on, you know, Stone Cold Returns or something. I don't know, you know.
Dude, honestly, man, I'm a sucker for like a full match Elimination Chamber rewatch, you know.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Awesome. So let's talk a bit about like your songwriting in particular. This is my favorite thing to ask artists is when you write, when do you know a song is finished? I feel like it might be easy as an artist to maybe overdo it and like, or maybe they think they're underdoing it and just get real in their head maybe about it. Like, when do you know a song is finished?
So I'm really terrible at preparing for the studio. And again, with the first record, I thought it was a negative. Second record made me realize it is a negative, but it is a viable way of doing things. So a lot of the stuff was kind of at least finalized in the studio, you know, a lot of it was written, you know, in the studio, in the live room, you know, kind of expanded on ideas. And it was generally kind of when, you know, we'd be wrapping up like, you know, a 3-day session or like a 4-day session. And we'd all kind of sit in the control room. My buddy who produced it, Dan, you know, he'd play it back for us. And it was kind of when we'd all turn around and just like nod, you know, be like, all right, you know, I think it's done. I'd always leave there with like, maybe I'll throw this on it, maybe I'll, you know, throw that on it. But generally speaking, once I kind of left the studio, it was, you know, there's some overdubs and some things that I had in like the grand plan of it all. But yeah, most of the time it's like if I sit down to try and write, I end up coming up with nothing. Whereas, as you said, if I'm a little, you know, tuned up on a Saturday and I'm not playing, you know, and I pick up the guitar and start playing something, that's normally when the songs that, if not my best, but kind of the most popular ones have come out. Mm-hmm. Because anytime I say, like, I'm going to go and sit down and write a song, I've never had anything kind of worth a damn come out of that. And it's only really 2025 I was kind of experimenting with actually structuring more writing time, and ended up writing one of my favorite songs yet with my friend Zach in West Virginia. And that was kind of the first time I'd co-written with anybody. And that kind of scratched a good itch. That felt good. So I'd like to kind of do more collaborative stuff with folks, yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's kind of like my paintings, man. Like, I always say deadlines are the thing that makes everything finished, because if you're kind of even mildly creative and a little bit on the spectrum like I am, you're always going to be thinking like, well, I could do that, or I should do this, or I'm not sure if that's done. Whereas, you know, as soon as I pack a painting up or I varnish it, like, that's it, it's done. And I'm kind of trying to apply that to the music a little bit, because, you know, you play a song like 3 or 4 years, you know, 3 or 4 years down the line, it's going to be kind of different anyway, the way you play it live versus the record. So I always think, you know, the record's like a kind of cool starting point. Yeah. And that'll be the thing that folks can listen to. But if you come to a show, we always add stuff in and, you know, move stuff around and try and create a show around it anyway. So try not to be too hard on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a real like round the houses kind of way of answering that, man. But
no, that's awesome. And you did mention your painting there, and I'd be remiss if we don't talk about that, because it's insane what you're doing with that. And I guess first off, man, like, has that, I'm assuming from the looks of it, you've been painting a while. And like, has that been like kind of going on, like, as long as your music? What kind of prompted you to start that?
Yeah, I mean, I was always drawing and kind of sketching as a kid. I remember I had a great hustle in like, I think it would be elementary school for you guys, the equivalent of like,
yeah,
I'd offer to like paint my friend's portrait, or like draw my friend's portraits in the style of a Roman soldier in exchange for like football cards and stuff, you know, like cards, you know. And then I've always loved music, but I was a real latecomer to actually like playing and writing. I tried to learn the guitar like twice before I actually stuck. So we're always a very like musical household. It's kind of how I communicate with my old man, was you know, listen to records, listen to music. That was the main thing we had in common. But I was pretty late to actually sticking with it. Whereas I was always sketching from, you know, like 3, 4 years old, maybe. And then, yeah, I wanted to be a musician in my teenage years. But then, you know, left school. Wow, 10 years ago. That's crazy. And got my first commission kind of the week I left. Had these great art teachers who I'm still friends with. And yeah, a friend of mine commissioned me to do a painting for like her then boyfriend. And yeah, just they never stopped coming in. So I didn't really have time to kind of think like, oh, you know, like what am, you know, what do I want to do? It's been very kind of figuring it out on the job. And I always kind of joke around, because when that record came out in 2023, when we started recording that in 2022, I kind of resigned to the fact that music probably wasn't going to happen for me. You know, in my teens, I was touring and stuff in kind of a couple of rock bands, and we were playing all around Europe, playing these amazing festivals. And then right around the time COVID came around, I just decided like I wasn't happy. It wasn't kind of, it wasn't me. We'd moved from kind of how we were. And so I quit that band. And then just as I kind of started to get my own thing up and running, COVID hit, and I was like, man, well, that's it. You know, I think that's me. I'm just a hobbyist now. And so the art kind of started taking off, and then put the record out, and then the music started taking off again as well.
Oh, nice.
So now it's kind of a juggling act between the two. But the way I kind of describe it is the painting's almost like the day job, albeit it's a day job I absolutely love, but it allows me the freedom to, you know, say, right, I've got this tour for like 2 weeks, so I'm off. But still keeps the lights on, still pays the bill. And it's just put me on this incredible journey as well. I said I was in the US a lot last year exhibiting. Had this amazing exhibition in Austin called The Far West. I don't know how active you are on Instagram and stuff, but there's some kind of this whole resurgence of Western painting.
Yeah.
And I want to say maybe 80% of my living art heroes were all in this exhibition. And then,
oh, wow.
I applied for it. And, you know, they asked my portfolio to have a look, and I didn't think anything of it. I didn't hear anything else. And then they announced the lineup, and I was looking around the bottom for my name. I was thinking that's where I'd put me. couldn't see it, and then realized it was in alphabetical order. So I went to the top, and like two lines down, it was my name, like next to Mark Maggiore, Jeremy Lipkin, Glenn Dean. And right when I thought maybe the art was quieting down again, that exhibition came along, and it's just been absolutely nuts, man. I think since October, I've painted like 13 paintings.
Shoo.
So yeah, it's a lot to juggle the two. It's kind of easy to put a whole day into one or the other and then realize, oh, I still need to do that for the other thing too. But yeah, it's great, man. And they've started to go more and more hand in hand the more I do it too. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I used to think I'd have to keep the two separate, but you know, where they're kind of in the same realm and it's all part of like my story and my journey, I find more and more as it gets on, the two kind of intertwine anyway.
Yeah. And I want to hit on too, the Luke Bell thing, and that vinyl release and everything. Can you just give us a story? Me and you both like Luke Bell have discovered a lot. So can you give us a story on how that whole thing unfolded, everything like that?
Yeah, man. So I'm trying to think when it would have been. Would have been the end of 2023. I'd spent 2023 kind of trying to rediscover what made me tick with art again. I was really kind of going through the motions again for a few years before that and was very disillusioned with it. Didn't feel like I was kind of thinking about it enough and really figuring out what I wanted to paint. It just felt like I was kind of, it was very cynical and very kind of, you know, negative. So 2023, I spent this time kind of started painting my playlist, basically. Ended up leading me into all these stories and meeting some of these, you know, great musicians. And then end of 2023, I thought, man, I've got a couple of weeks before kind of things pick up. I'll do a painting of Luke Bell. You know, I absolutely love Luke. Never got to meet him, but his music's been a huge influence on me. And I love his story. So I painted it. Didn't really think too much of it, apart from that I was really happy with it. Wasn't expecting to, you know, it to get picked up or anything. And then I posted it and went to bed. And the next day I woke up and I had like Margot Price commenting on it. And the guys at Western AF, like who I absolutely love, you know, Mike and the boys, who all kind of knew Luke very well, had Riley from the Deslons hit me up about it. And I was thinking, wow, like this has really struck a chord. And then I want to say the day after, Luke's family got in touch from Wyoming, and that was just the craziest thing. And within a couple of weeks, the original was at Luke's mum's house in her kitchen.
Wow.
So yeah, it was crazy. And the family were super sweet. You know, they were all like adding me on Facebook and we've kept in touch, and they love all the Western stuff I'm doing. They loved the fact that I put out a cover of The Bullfighter by Luke last year. And Carol, Luke's mum, kind of mentioned maybe a year ago that they were putting this kind of posthumous release out. And I'd seen Mike from Western AF, who was a good big friends with Luke, kind of in that year after I painted it. Mm-hmm. And he played me one of the songs. We were at a festival. And he said, here's my phone. Take that over there, like that. And it was The King Is Back, which was the mm-hmm. first single off this new record. And I was like blubbering like a baby, like backstage, yeah. listening to this song. Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. And then, yeah, the next thing I said, you guys have my blessing to do with that painting, whatever you like, whatever, you know, it's your painting. It's Luke's story. If you want to put it in the record, I'd be honored. Didn't hear anything about it after that, really. And then, yeah, like everyone else, I saw the thing and saw it was slipped inside the sleeve, and got all these messages again. And I was just like, this is crazy. see it kind of arriving with folks and, you know, people commenting saying, you know, I had no idea. And then I just opened it and I was like, whoa, you know, there's Jack's painting. It really meant a lot. And, you know, I hope Luke would kind of realize I'm just a, you know, big fan at heart and a fan first and foremost. And yeah, it was definitely some much needed confidence, but also something like really lovely. And
yeah,
I always try and make sure I can do some good with my art and leave things a little better than I found it. And I'm not saying I did with the Luke stuff, but I definitely was kind of privileged to play a very small part in, you know, his resurgence, you know?
100%, man. Yeah, it's a great tribute, dude. It's great what you're doing. And before we get out of here, Jack, of course, let's talk about what you have coming down the pipe, whether it's new music. I know you mentioned a new album possibly coming up. So just spill the beans. Tell us what you got coming.
Yeah, dude. So I said, me and the boys are on the road over here in Europe from next month. And then I'm in the US in June and July. There'll be some others as well, but that's kind of what we've got on the horizon. I'm looking at my old man calendar on the wall. I still keep like a paper. It was actually Pat Reedy that taught me that. He carries around a paper calendar. I was like, all right, I want to steal that. So yeah, like right at the beginning of June, I'm in McKinney, Texas, right kind of near that kind of Fort Worth area. For Texas Music Revolution. And then the following month, I'm in Master Musicians Festival in Somerset. So if you're around, man, it'd be good to talk WWE and drink some Kentucky Swamp Water with you, dude.
Absolutely.
Yeah, got some great festival kind of announcements all around the world at the minute, which is just very surreal, and which is kind of trying to catch up. You know, it's still just me and my fiance and my buddy Rob and the band at the moment, you know, just kind of figuring it all out and booking everything. So it's a lot. It's been kind of, it's gone crazier than I could have ever expected it, but we're just kind of trying to grab it with both hands and wait till the bottom falls out of everything. I was gonna keep coming up, man. So we got that, and got this new record. It's all recorded. It's just a case of getting it out there. So I'm hoping to have that out kind of this side of the summer, if we can.
Hell yeah, man. Well, dude, I'm super excited for it. And one more thing, this is kind of a cliche question, but I ask everybody is, well, everybody at this point of the year is, do you have any particular goals, whether it's short term, anything for 2026, long term, anything like that comes to mind that you really want to accomplish?
I mean, painting wise, it's definitely getting into some more shows with kind of some of the artists I was with last year. That weekend in Austin with the Far West exhibition, I just made so many like friends as well. So we've always been kind of messaging and hoping there's an excuse to hang out again and show some paintings this year. And then music is just, I want to be more collaborative. You know, I've got so many talented friends and kind of people that have mentored me. And I'd love to just, once this album's out, you know, it's two albums under my belt, you know, maybe look at just kind of collaborating with a couple of folks and doing some cool things. And other than that, it's just, you know, be out there playing, you know, keep pushing myself, keep pushing the band, keep surprising ourselves as well. And just kind of ride this train as far as it takes us, really, man.
Right on, dude. Well, I'm stoked for everything you have coming out. That new album, whenever that's out, I'm going to be all over that. So
thank you, man. What you've built, man, is very special. And I said, I've been a fan for a minute, dude. So thank you for having me on. Thank you for everything you do as well.
Of course, I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. And one last thing, just so people know where to find you, socials, website, anything like that, the floor is yours.
Yeah, man. JackBrowning.co.uk. And then if you find me on Instagram, if you type in @JackBrowning, you'll find me on Facebook. And I've got all my links on there. And you can see where I'm playing next and grab a ticket. So.
Right on. Y'all make sure to do that. Jack, again, thank you so much. Also, you guys check out Raise Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative. Google us. We'll show up. We're on everything. So we'll see you guys next time. And we'll see you. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home tonight.